and the smallest not the least, he said. He knows not to what end he rides, yet if he knew, he still would go on.
A little people, but of great worth are the Shire folk, said Halbered. Little do they know of our long labour for the safekeeping of their borders, and yet I grudge it not.
And now our fates are woven together, said Aragorn, and yet, alas, here we must part. Well, I must eat a little, and then we also must hasten away. Come, Legolas and Gimli, I must speak with you as I eat.
Together they went back into the burg. Yet for some time Aragorn sat silent at the table in the hall, and the others waited for him to speak.
Come, said Legolas at last, speak and be comforted, and shake off the shadow. What has happened since we came back to this grim place in the grey morning?
A struggle somewhat grimmer for my part than the Battle of the Hornburg, answered Aragorn. I have looked in the stone of Orthanc, my friends.
You have looked in that accursed stone of wizardry, exclaimed Gimli, with fear and astonishment in his face. Did you say aught to him? Even Gandalf feared that encounter.
You forgot to whom you speak, said Aragorn sternly, and his eyes glinted. Did I not openly proclaim my title before the doors of Edoras? What do you fear that I should say to him?
Nay, Gimli, he said in a softer voice, and the grimness left his face, and he looked like one who has laboured in sleepless pain for many nights. Nay, my friends, I am the lawful master of the stone, and I had both the right and the strength to use it, or so I judged. The right cannot be doubted. The strength was enough.
Barely.
He drew a deep breath. It was a bitter struggle, and the weariness is slow to pass. I spoke no word to him, and in the end I wrenched the stone to my own will. That alone he will find hard to endure. And he beheld me. Yes, Master Gimli, he saw me, but in other guise than you see me here. If that will aid him, then I have done ill. But I don't think so. To know that I lived and walked the earth was a blow to his heart, I deem, for he knew it not till now. The eyes in Orthanc did not see through the armour of Theoden, but Sauron has not forgotten Isildur and the sword of Elendil.
Now in the very hour of his great designs, the heir of Isildur and the sword are revealed, for I showed the blade reforged to him. He is not so mighty yet that he is above fear. Nay, doubt ever gnaws him.
But he wields great dominion nonetheless, said Gimli, and now he will strike more swiftly.
The hasty stroke goes oft astray, said Aragorn. We must press our enemy, and no longer wait upon him for the move. See, my friends, when I had mastered the stone, I learned many things. A grave peril I saw coming unlooked for upon Gondor from the south that will draw off great strength from the defence of Minas Tirith. If it is not counted swiftly, I deem that the city will be lost ere 10 days be gone.
Then lost it must be, said Gimli. For what help is there to send thither, and how could it come there in time?
I have no help to send, therefore I must go myself, said Aragorn. But there is only one way through the mountains that will bring me to the coastlands before all is lost. That is the paths of the dead.
The paths of the dead, said Gimli. It is a fell name, and little to the liking to the men of Rohan, as I saw. Can the living use such a road and not perish? And even if you pass that way, what will so few avail to counter the strokes of Mordor?
The living have never used that road since the coming of the Rohirrim, said Aragorn, for it is closed to them. But in this dark hour, the heir of Isildur may use it, if he dare. Listen. This is the word that the sons of Elrond bring to me from their father in Rivendell, wisest in law. Bid Aragorn remember the words of the seer, and the paths of the dead.
But what may be the words of the seer? Said Legolas.
Thus spoke Malbeth the seer in the days of Arvedwy, last king at Fornost, said Aragorn. Over the land there lies a long shadow, westward reaching wings of darkness. The tower trembles, To the tombs of kings doom approaches, the dead awaken. For the hour is come for the oath-breakers. At the stone of Erech they shall stand again, and hear there a horn in the hills ringing. Whose shall the horn be? Who shall call them from the grey twilight, the forgotten people, the heir of him to whom the oath they swore? From the north shall he come, need shall drive him, he shall pass the door to the paths of the dead.
Dark ways, doubtless, said Gimli, but no darker than these staves are to me.
If you would understand them better, then I bid you come with me, said Aragorn, for that way I now shall take. But I don't go gladly, only need drives me. Therefore, only of your free will would I have you come, for you'll find both toil and great fear, and maybe worse.
I will go with you even on the paths of the dead, and to whatever end they may lead, said Gimli.
I also will come, said Legolas, for I don't fear the dead.
I hope that the forgotten people will not have forgotten how to fight, said Gimli, for otherwise I see not why we should trouble them.
That we shall know if ever we come to Erech, said Aragorn. But the oath that they broke was to fight against Sauron, and they must fight therefore, if they are to fulfill it. For at Erech there stands yet a black stone that was brought, it was said, from Numenor by Isildur. And it was set upon a hill, and upon it the king of the mountains swore allegiance to him in the beginning of the realm of Gondor. But when Sauron returned and grew in might again, Isildur summoned the men of the mountains to fulfill their oath, and they would not, for they had worshipped Sauron in the dark years. Then Isildur said to their king, Thou shalt be the last king, and if the West prove mightier than thy black master, this curse I lay upon thee and thy folk, to rest never until your oath is fulfilled. For this war will last through years uncounted, and you shall be summoned once again ere the end. And they fled before the wrath of Isildur, and did not dare to go forth to war on Sauron's part. And they hid themselves in secret places in the mountains, and had no dealings with other men, but slowly dwindled in the barren hills. And the terror of the sleepless dead lies about the hills of Erech, and all places where that people lingered. But that way I must go, since there are none living to help me. He stood up. Come! He cried, and drew his sword, and it flashed in the twilight hall of the burg. To the stone of Erech! I seek the paths of the dead. Come with me who will. Legolas and Gimli made no answer, but they rose and followed Aragorn from the hall. On the green there waited, still and silent, the hooded rangers. Legolas and Gimli mounted. Aragorn sprang upon Rohirrin. Then Halberd lifted a great horn, and the blast of it echoed in Helm's Deep. And with that they leapt away, riding down the coombe like thunder, while all the men that were left on the dyke or burg stared in amaze. And while Theoden went by slow paths in the hills, the grey company passed swiftly over the plain, and on the next day in the afternoon they came to Edoras, and there they halted only briefly, ere they passed up the valley, and so came to Dunharrow as darkness fell. The Lady Eowyn greeted them, and was glad of their coming, for no mightier men had she seen than the Dúnedain and the fair sons of Elrond. But on Aragorn most of all her eyes rested. And when they sat at supper with her, they talked together, and she heard of all that had passed since Theoden rode away, concerning which only hasty tidings had yet reached her. And when she heard of the battle in Helm's Deep, and the great slaughter of their foes, and of the charge of Theoden and his knights, then her eyes shone. But at last she said, Lords, you are weary, and shall now go to your bed with such ease as can be contrived in haste. But tomorrow fairer housing shall be found for you. But Aragorn said,
Nay, lady, be not troubled for us. If we may lie here tonight and break our fast tomorrow, it will be enough. For I ride on an errand most urgent,
and with the first light of morning we must go. She smiled on him and said, Then it was kindly done, Lord, to ride so many miles out of your way to bring tidings to Eowyn, and to speak with her in her exile.
Indeed, no man could count such a journey wasted, said Aragorn. And yet, lady, I could not have come hither if it were not that the road which I must take leads me to Dunharrow.
And she answered as one that likes not what is said.
Then, Lord, you are astray. For out of Harrowdale no road runs east or south, and you had best return as you came. Nay, lady, he said, I am not astray, for I walked in this land ere you were born to grace it. There's a road out of this valley, and that road I shall take. Tomorrow I shall ride by the paths of the dead.
Then she stared at him as one that is stricken, and her face blanched. And for long she spoke no more, while all sat silent.
But Aragorn, she said at last, is it then your errand to seek death? For that is all that you will find on that road. They do not suffer the living to pass.
They may suffer me to pass, said Aragorn. But at the least I will adventure it. No other road will serve.
But this is madness, she said, for here are men of renown and prowess, whom you should not take into the shadows, but should lead to war, where men are needed. I beg you to remain and ride with my brother, for then all our hearts will be gladdened, and our hope be the brighter.
It is not madness, lady, he answered, for I go on a path appointed. But those who follow me do so of their free will, and if they wish now to remain and ride with the Rohirrim, they may do so. But I shall take the paths of the dead, alone, if needs be.
Then they said no more, and they ate in silence. But her eyes were ever upon Aragorn, and the others saw that she was in great torment of mind. At length they arose, and took their leave of the lady, and thanked her for her care, and went to their rest. But as Aragorn came to the booth where he was to lodge with Legolas and Gimli, and his companions had gone in, there came the Lady Eowyn after him, and called to him. He turned and saw her as a glimmer in the night, for she was clad in white, but her eyes were on fire.
Aragorn, she said, why will you go on this deadly road?
Because I must, he said. Only so can I see any hope of doing my part in the war against Sauron. I don't choose paths of peril, Eowyn. Were I to go where my heart dwells, far in the north I would now be wandering in the fair valley of Rivendell.
For a while she was silent, as if pondering what this might mean. Then suddenly she laid her hand on his arm.
You are a stern lord and resolute, she said, and thus do men win renown.
She paused.
Lord, she said, if you must go, then let me ride in your following, for I am weary of skulking in the hills and wish to face peril and battle.
Your duty is with your people, he answered.
Too often have I heard of duty, she cried, but am I not of the house of Eorl, a shield maiden and not a dry nurse? I have waited on faltering feet long enough. Since they falter no longer, it seems, may I not now spend my life as I will?
Few may do that with honor, he answered. But as for you, lady, did you not accept the charge to govern the people until their lord's return? If you had not been chosen, then some marshal or captain would have been set in the same place, and he could not ride away from his charge, were he weary of it or no.
Shall I always be chosen? She said bitterly. Shall I always be left behind when the riders depart, to mind the house while they win renown, and find food and beds when they return?
A time may come soon, said he, when none will return. Then there will be need of valor without renown, for none shall remember the deeds that are done in the last defense of your homes. Yet the deeds will not be less valiant because they are unpraised.
And she answered, All your words are but to say, You are a woman, and your part is in the house. But when the men have died in battle and honor, you have leave to be burned in the house, for the men will need it no more. But I am of the house of Eorl, and not a serving woman. I can ride and wield blade, and I don't fear either pain or death.
What do you fear, lady?
he asked. A cage, she said, to stay behind bars until youth and old age accept them, and all chance of doing great deeds is gone beyond recall or desire.
And yet you counseled me not to adventure on the road that I had chosen, because it is perilous?
So may one counsel another, she said. Yet I don't bid you flee from peril, but to ride to battle, where your sword may win renown and victory.
I wouldn't see a thing that is high and excellent cast away needlessly. Nor would I, he said. Therefore I say to you, lady, stay, for you have no errand to the south.
Neither have those others who go with thee. They go only because they would not be parted from thee, because they love thee.
Then she turned and vanished into the night. When the light of day was come into the sky, but the sun was not yet risen above the high ridges in the east, Aragorn made ready to depart. His company was all mounted, and he was about to leap into the saddle when the Lady Eowyn came to bid them farewell. She was clad as a rider and girt with a sword. In her hand she bore a cup, and set it to her lips and drank a little, wishing them good speed, and then she gave the cup to Aragorn, and he drank, and he said,
Farewell, Lady of Rohan. I drink to the fortunes of your house, and of you, and of all your people. Say to your brother, Beyond the shadows we may meet again. Then it seemed to Gimli and Legolas, who were nearby, that she wept, and in one so stern and proud that seemed the more grievous. But she said, Aragorn, wilt thou go?
I will, he said.
Then wilt thou not let me ride with this company, as I have asked?
I will not, lady, he said, for that I could not grant without leave of the king and of your brother, and they will not return until tomorrow. But I count now every hour, indeed every minute. Farewell.
Then she fell on her knees, saying, I beg thee.
Nay, lady, he said, and taking her by the hand he raised her.
Then he kissed her hand, and sprang into the saddle, and rode away, and he did not look back.
And only those who knew him well, and were near to him, saw the pain that he bore.
But Eowyn stood still as a figure carven in stone, her hands clenched at her sides, and she watched them until they passed into the shadows under the black Dwimorberg, the haunted mountain, in which was the gate of the dead. When they were lost to view, she turned, stumbling as one that is blind, and went back to her lodging. But none of her folk saw this parting, for they hid themselves in fear, and would not come forth until the day was up, and the reckless strangers were gone. And some said, They are elvish wights. Let them go where they belong, into the dark places, and never return. The times are evil enough. The light was still grey as they rode, for the sun had not yet climbed over the black ridges of the haunted mountain before them. A dread fell on them, even as they passed between the lines of ancient stones, and so came to the Dimholt. There, under the gloom of black trees that not even Legolas could long endure, they found a hollow place, opening at the mountain's root, and right in their path stood a single mighty stone, like a finger of doom.
My blood runs chill, said Gimli,
but the others were silent, and his voice fell dead on the dank fir needles at his feet. The horses would not pass the threatening stone until the riders dismounted and led them about, and so they came at last into the glen, and there stood a sheer wall of rock, and in the wall the dark door gaped before them like the mouth of night. Signs and figures were carved above its wide arch too dim to read, and fear flowed from it like a grey vapour. The company halted, and there was not a heart among them that did not quail, unless it were the heart of Legolas of the Elves, for whom the ghosts of men have no terror.
This is an evil door, said Halbarad, and my death lies beyond it.
I will dare to pass it none the less, but no horse will enter. But we must go in, and therefore the horses must go too, said Aragorn. For if ever we come through this darkness, many leagues lie beyond, and every hour that is lost there will bring the triumph of Sauron nearer. Follow me.
Then Aragorn led the way, And such was the strength of his will in that hour that all the Dúnedain and their horses followed him. And indeed the love that the horses of the rangers bore for their riders was so great that they were willing to face even the terror of the Dúr if their masters' hearts were steady as they walked beside them. But Arod, the horse of Rohan, refused the way, and he stood sweating and trembling in a fear that was grievous to see. Then Legolas lay his hand on his eyes and sang some words that were soft in the gloom, until he suffered himself to be led, and Legolas passed in. And there stood Gimli the dwarf, left all alone. His knees shook, and he was wroth with himself.
"Here is a thing unheard of," he said. "An elf will go underground, and a dwarf dare not."
With that he plunged in. But it seemed to him that he dragged his feet like lead over the threshold, and at once a blindness came upon him, even upon Gimli, Gloin's son, who had walked unafraid in many deep places of the world.